Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blood, Bats, and Books. It is Monday, March 22nd, 2010, at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Your hosts for the evening are Ashley and Angie. Welcome back, Ashley. We missed you last week. I hope you're feeling better tonight.
I am. Just a bit.
Just a bit. Not a lot, but enough that you came out to play.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all we can ask. Well, I'm glad you came back. And, you know, later in the show, I'm going to ask for your book report.
I know.
You have to tell me, and then we'll talk about some other books that we've read. So,
all right. For those of you that are listening and aren't registered with Blog Talk Radio, you can go back to the main page and register for an account. You'll have to verify through an email, but it shouldn't take more than a couple of minutes, and then you can chat live with us in the chat room.
And tonight, we are going to have two guests with us, so you probably want to go ahead and do that. Then you'll be able to ask your own questions through the chat room. The first part of our show, we're going to be talking with author Tony Kellner, and later in the evening, we're going to have Dawn from the Open Book Society, one of our affiliates, and she's going to return to tell us what's been going on over there at OBS. So first things first, welcome, Tony.
Well, thank you.
I am so glad that you agreed to do the show with us tonight. And I know you're on the East Coast, so I know it is 10 o'clock at night for you. So I really appreciate you staying up late to talk with us. And I want to tell you that up until about 4 seconds ago, Connie was in the chat room. But for some reason, she's not there anymore, so hopefully Connie will come back into the chat room.
Come back, Connie. My old big sister doesn't show up. I'm shocked.
She came back in. She heard me, and she came back in. Lynette's in our chat room, and really quickly, Lynette, could you just explain to people, because I'm kind of running the switchboard by myself tonight. Lynette, would you explain to people how they can get sound in the chat room? If they cannot hear our show, would you just type that in for me really quick? Okay, got the housekeeping stuff out of the way. first of all, I don't want to keep you too late, so I want to let you know, Tony, that I love, love, love your website. I was probably there for 30 minutes or more playing on your website. It is fabulous. Who does your website?
It's actually my cousin, my husband's cousin. Her name is Allison. She lives in Gainesville, I think is where she lives now. And when I started, you know, mentioning that I needed a new website design, my mother-in-law said, well, go, you know, use my husband, use Allison, and she'll do it for you. And she did a wonderful job.
It is great. And the web address for that is www.tonylpkellner.com. And I will type that in the chat room at some point when I have use of both of my hands. where did you get the idea to, I mean, most author websites, you've got the bibliography, the biography, and some links. But you've got more than that. Where did the idea for the Lanyaps come in?
Well, a lot of the stuff that's on the Lanyap section was I had, back before I was really doing a website, I would hand out little pamphlets and flyers and bookmarks with things on them because I felt like just it would be a little bit more interesting to just have a bookmark with a picture of the book cover, so I would do a little quiz to put on it instead. And then I started expanding it to little pamphlets, and then once I started the website, I thought, well, you know, I've got this built-in content. I may as well use it again.
Absolutely. I'm trying to type this in here. What I want you to do, if you don't mind, is to explain, I'm going to leave it right up to you, explain what Lanyaps are, because that was a term that was new to me last year was the first time I'd heard it. So would you explain that term a little bit for us?
A lanyard is just a little bit of something you give in addition to what is purchased to a customer or to someone else. So if you go into a store, and I went, and actually this happened in the store up here, I was just buying some garbage bags, but then when I opened my bag, I realized I had tossed in a sample bag of spice.
And so I think a lanyard.
It's actually, it's a southern word, it's a New Orleans word rather than I put piece of the sow. But I stole it from them.
Okay. Well, see, you learn something new every day. And I took the southern quizzes, and I would encourage anybody else in the chat room and listening to us to as well take those southern quizzes. So I confirmed for myself that I am indeed southern. It was very comforting. Very comforting indeed. Well, let's jump into some questions. Ashley, you had a really great question. I'm going to let you open up our question section.
All right. I want to know, what are some of the places that you find inspiration to write? Like, do you morph these stories from your own experiences, or do you just have ideas that just spark to life?
It comes from pretty much anywhere. I think that what most writers will tell you is that ideas are cheap, but the execution is tricky. The story I just finished, and I mean about 3 hours ago, I sent it off to my editor. It had to be about an old person, and it had to be kind of a dark noir story, and that was all I had to go by. And I was really kind of at a loss, but I went to visit my parents. And my parents, as always, when we visit them, take us out every day. They go out to eat at this same little restaurant. It is a nice little restaurant. It's, you know, kind of a southern-style place in Charlotte, which is where they live, Charlotte, North Carolina. And they go to the same restaurant every day, day in and day out. They fuss about it. They complain about the service. They complain about the food. And the next day, they go right back. And I thought, and that's kind of where I started, with someone who goes to that same restaurant day in and day out, and it's not that they love it, it's just that it's theirs. And what is, and you know, my parents have a spot that they sit, and how annoyed they would be if they came in and somebody else was sitting in their chair. And I just kind of went from there to make the story. My parents would not do what my character in the story did if someone sat in their chair, because it gets kind of messy. But otherwise.
Connie just typed into the chat room flamingos.
Yeah, actually, these days it's Skyland. My parents do changingly switch restaurants. They used to go to Flamingos every day. And every few years, the restaurant will close or something will just annoy them, and they'll switch to another one, which they will then go to day in and day out. But Flamingos got torn down a few years ago, so they switched to Skyland. The thing is, my grandparents used to do the same thing, but they went to Finch's in Raleigh, North Carolina. So I guess at some point I'll be doing it too. I don't know.
One of these days, that's we just get into our routines, don't we?
I think we do.
How long did it take you to get your first book published? Like, how many times did you have to submit it before it was finally accepted?
Well, it's a lot of times. I actually sat and counted this because someone was talking about that they had submitted their story to, like, 3 or 4 different agents, and no one was interested, so should they give up? And so I pulled out my rejection letters and counted. 60. That's 60 times.
Wow.
I'm really stubborn.
You have to be in this business.
You really do. But I had written it, and then I shopped around to both agents and publishers for about a year and really didn't get any, you know, I got a lot of rejection. Some were nice rejections, which would say they didn't just totally laugh at me. But they were all rejections. And then in the meantime, I had written another manuscript. So I put the first one aside and went and started to try to sell the second one. And then while that was going on, a friend of mine, who's a professional writer in the Boston area, which is where I live, said, well, let me take a look at it. I might have some suggestions for you. And it's like, you betcha. So she gave me 12 pages of suggestions. And I totally rewrote that first book. And by that point, I was having no luck with the second manuscript. So I totally rewrote the first book and started shopping it around again. And that time, I think it was number 16 that took the book. And that was the agent who took it. And then she shopped it around for just a few months before she sold it. So I guess all in all, the whole selling process was probably about a year and a half.
So it takes a lot of perseverance.
It really does. It's not. I mean, people say, is it hard? And it's not hard in the sense that it's hard to figure out. It's just hard in that you have to be patient and keep going.
And you have to be able to stand rejection.
Pretty much.
And know that what you're doing is right and good. It just might not be the right time for them.
Well, that's the thing, is it can be the same people. There are people who rejected the first manuscript that I've got three rejection slips that I've pulled out before. One says that I love your characters, but your plot just doesn't work. Another one that says your plot's wonderful, but your characters are cardboard.
Oh, wow.
And it's the same manuscript.
Wow. So, yeah, it's just personal preference.
Certainly. It totally is.
Well, Ashley, you had another question. I'm just kind of taking up your time. I'm sorry.
You've published quite a few works, and this is a bit of an odd question, but do you find writing with pen and paper or typing away on a computer more conducive to great writing?
For me, it's got to be with the computer. My handwriting is so bad. If I wrote anything with my hand, I would never recognize it again. I wouldn't be able to read it. It would be terrible. Where did I first start? I had started composing at a keyboard using a typewriter, if anybody remembers what those are. And that was college. And then I got my first taste of a word processor, my first job as a technical writer. And after that, I never went back. It's so much easier to revise. And if I type something and I don't like it, it's no problem. I cut it and I cut it out. I stick it in a file to use later. I just couldn't do it any other way.
You know, I didn't think about making another file for those good ideas that I like, but they just don't work for that. I'm going to have to remember that because I'm always wondering what to do with them.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I have to write that down. So on your web, and I've talked about your website a few minutes ago, you have this really cute interview with Tilda. Tilda is interviewing you. And she is one of the characters out of one of your newer series. I want to know who inspired Tilda. Where did she come from?
Well, it was funny because I'd done the Laura Fleming series, and I did 8 books and a bunch of short stories in that series, which was about a Southerner living in Massachusetts. If I was a Southerner living in Massachusetts, a large Southern family, which I had lots of similarities. And when that series ended, I wanted to do something that was as different from Laura as I could get, because I didn't want to just be doing the same thing over, you know, with a new name on her. So I tried to do everything opposite. Laura is from North Carolina, so Tilda's from Massachusetts. Laura is married, and so I made Tilda single. Laura's is kind of sweet and nice, and Tilda is kind of not. And I think Laura is who I think I might be, and Tilda is probably who I would kind of like to be. She says the things you wish you could.
That's great. I love it.
She's a lot of fun to write. Although it took me some work before I could quit writing in a Southern accent. And that's Laura's all very much in a Southern accent, and after I moved up north and could kind of identify what was different, and it was like it was wonderful. It was a revelation to me that this made I could do something a little different. Because when you grow up in the South, that's all you meet are other Southerners, and you think everybody talks this way. Well, having lived up here, I can guarantee not everybody knows how to speak properly.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad.
Go ahead, Ashley.
I say I very much know that. Some of the things that I say, I'm from Louisiana. Some of the things I say, people are like, I have no idea what you're talking about, because it's a very unique Southern thing or just a Louisianian thing.
It's a Louisiana thing. I can tell you right now, it's a Louisiana thing.
I'll tell you, my husband, not a born Southerner, though he spent a lot of time in the South when his folks moved down there. And every once in a while, I'll still use an expression that he doesn't understand. And sometimes I swear, I don't know if they're authentic expressions, if it was just something my mama would say. And it's like, you know, if we're really not sure, because we think she could probably sneak some in, and he and I would really never know the difference, and we would be using them for years, and she'd probably be laughing at us.
That's great. And I can totally identify with that.
Yeah.
My husband's mother had some good ones, too. Ashley, did you have another question?
Yes, I do. How do you come up with your limerick? Like, where exactly do they come from?
Where do the what come from? The limerick?
The limerick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was kind of embarrassing. Back years ago, before I published anything in fiction, but I wanted to, a friend of mine was working for a gaming magazine, and he'd done some artwork for them. And this was a type of gaming that really doesn't exist anymore. It was play-by-mail gaming, where you would actually kind of type up a move, like a D&D move, mail it off, and then wait for a response. It was very strange, but it was popular for a very short while. And he was doing some work for this magazine, and the guy was looking for more content for his magazine. And my friend Kim says, well, you know, let me get you in touch with my friend Tony. She does limericks. Folks, I had never written a limerick other than as a high school assignment in my whole life.
Oh, wow.
I had told him, Kim had told him that I could write limericks. So I thought, I guess I can. And so I wrote limericks, and I sold him a couple. And then the magazine folded before he could publish them.
Oh.
So I sold them to another gaming magazine. So I got paid for them twice. I mean, not a lot of money, but those are my first credits. Those are actually under my maiden name, so they're not even under Kellner. They're under Perry.
That's hysterical. Why did he tell them you could write them if you'd never done it before?
He thought I could.
Well, apparently he was right. That's hysterical. I love it. You answered a question already about the Laura Fleming series. I have not had a chance to read it. Apparently it is over, from what you said a moment ago. What really is her backstory? I mean, you've got, how many books did you say there were in the series? Eight?
There are eight books in that series.
So who is Laura Fleming? I mean, how would we identify with her?
Well, she's a computer programmer living in Boston, never quite felt a part of her family, which was a lot more of a southern rural kind of family, and that's where she grew up, in the mill towns around Hickory. And so she moved away, but as she comes back she comes back when her grandfather, who raised her, has been injured, and it looks like he's going to die. And it also turns out he was attacked, and it wasn't just an accident. And so she starts investigating that, and that kind of gets her into the mystery business, as it were. And I think all of us who've wondered what our places in our family really are kind of, or who have moved away from your family, kind of would associate with that pretty well.
And so do the books, should they be read in order, or can they be read out of order?
I try to make them so you can pick them up at any time, because there's no guarantee a series will, all the books will stay in print. I always like starting a series at the beginning just for me as a reader. But I think you can pick them up pretty much as you find them.
Okay. Because that kind of leads into Ashley's next question.
Yes. A lot of your books are out of print, and we were wondering what would be the best way to get our hands on them without spending hours in these bookstores looking for them.
At this point, that's pretty much it, or they use the sites online that sell used books. Sometimes you'll still find a copy hidden in a bookstore that for one reason or another didn't send it back. But the only one that's actually still in print is Mad as the Dickens, which was my Christmas book. And it was re-released in a large print edition last year. But the others have gone out of print.
So just all of the Laura Flemings are out of print?
Except for Mad as the Dickens, yep.
Okay. Well, I'll just have to scour some bookstores for them.
Exactly. We have a future of hours in the bookstore, apparently.
Well, they sound really, really interesting. And I had been looking in Barnes & Noble and Books A Million and such. And, of course, you know, I found the Tilda books, but not these. So.
Yeah, don't keep books in the store very long anymore. Yeah, it's a few, especially for a paperback. It's, you know, they keep it for a few weeks at most, and then they, you know, send them back and get something different.
Right, right. You were born and raised here in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, and that's where I am, as you know. And I wanted to know if there's any chance, I know this is just such a selfish question, but is there any chance of coming down this way so that I can say hi in person?
That would be lovely. Well, my sister Connie's there in Milton, and my other sister Brenda's in Pensacola, so
So when you come down to visit, Connie's going to have to give me a heads up.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yes, a few years down.
Go ahead, Ashley.
Sorry. Do you have any upcoming projects that you're working on?
Well, let's see. That's coming out to be published. Who Killed the Pet Up Queen came out in January, so it's still pretty new. I've got some short stories and anthologies coming out. There's a Mystery Writers of America has just released an anthology. I don't think the official release date has come about yet, but I think it's hitting the stores already. It's called Crimes by Moonlight. So it's all mystery short stories, but with a paranormal, supernatural kind of element in them. And the big thing that's going on this week is I've got a short story in a collection called Delta Blues, which is about Mississippi Delta Blues, which is another case of someone asked me to write a story I knew nothing about, but what the heck, I did it anyway. And that we're actually having a blues concert to release the book, to do a celebration for the debut of the book in Clarksdale, Mississippi this weekend. So that's kind of fun. And then the other thing is in August, Charlene Harris, who writes the vampire stuff, which y'all, with the blood and stuff, y'all probably know about her. She's got edit anthologies together. And our third anthology is coming out in August, and that will be Death's Excellent Vacation.
And that is definitely on my reading list.
Yeah.
Year for publications for me. Some years a lot comes out, or some years I'm writing a lot. It's not always the same years. So I've got a lot coming out this year.
Well, we'll have to keep our eye out for it.
Okay. Do you have any websites other than your main one, like a MySpace or Facebook, anything like that?
I'm on Facebook pretty actively, in fact. I tried MySpace, but I found it confusing, and I just got used to Facebook, so that's pretty much where I hang out.
So is it pretty easy to find? Just search your name on there?
Yep. It's not like a fan page or anything like that. It's just a regular friend page, Tony L.P. Kellner.
All right, and I just put that into the chat room, and if they want to, is it okay for them to go onto that one, or do you prefer to keep that one mostly friends and family?
Oh, it's fine.
Okay. All right. The chat room is still, they say basically they're trying to come up with questions, but I guess we've asked the questions that they had. So not coming up with anything. I think we've got Dawn from Open Book Society on the line with us. Dawn, if there's anything that you wanted to jump in there with. Did you have any questions?
No, I think you guys covered about everything.
Okay. Tony, Connie said she just enjoyed listening to your voice. So
she could call me once in a while.
Oh, Connie, busted. You need to call your sister. That's sweet. I love it. And I do thank Connie. She told me about you a couple of years ago. She and I worked together at the same elementary school, and she mentioned you to me. And so I do appreciate her letting me know that you were out there. Oh, we do have a question. Leigh Diane wants to know what inspires you to write.
In terms of deadlines are very inspirational. When I have a deadline, I get very inspired very quickly. Not usually enough. Almost anything can. The next Tilda book, which is after this trip to Mississippi this weekend, is what I'm going to be diving into next week, was inspired by a couple of odd events. Jackie Earle Haley, who's an actor, was a big actor as a young boy. He was, one of those teen actors, was very popular. And then he kind of got a little older and really not that movie star kind of pretty or anything, and he quit getting work. And he was still as good an actor, better an actor than he had been, but he just wasn't getting the work. So he quit. He became a limo driver, and there were times when he was working in L.A. when he was driving people with whom he had co-starred, and they didn't even recognize him. Or worse, they did recognize him and felt pity for him, and that wasn't any way to live. So he eventually moved to Texas, and he kept doing limo driving, and he built himself a life. He was doing okay.
But at some point, somebody said they were doing a movie about 10 years later, and they said, you know who would really be good in this role? That guy, Jack Earl Haley. Where the heck is he anyway? And they dug him back out of retirement, and now that he's back into acting again, he's loving it. But it was just totally out of the blue. Somebody remembered him. And I thought, well, what if he had somebody who had been forgotten like that and who went and did limo driving who never did get remembered? Would he be, you know, would he hate it? Would he love it? And since my the character Tilda is, she's a freelance entertainment reporter, and she specializes in tracking down those people who used to be famous. So she finds him almost accidentally as he's driving around with one of his former co-stars who does not recognize him. And then the former co-star gets murdered, and he's the obvious suspect, but Tilda doesn't think he did it. So that's the start of that book.
That is be a cool job.
Yeah.
Tracking down old stars, that would be a cool job. I have to go find these books. That's all there is to it. I have got to go find these books. I just love books. I can't love them.
Yeah, and I particularly love mystery books.
Here's one more question from the chat room. And and then we'll let you go, Tony, because you've been with us for almost 30 minutes. So I don't want to keep you way up past your bedtime because I know I'm ready to go to bed too. Have you ever felt blank when you're writing, and what do you do to combat that?
There's a technique. It's not a very, very sophisticated technique that I learned back in college. It's called free writing, where basically you set a timer for 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever, and you write for that length of time. And it doesn't matter if you write the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog, or if you're typing a letter to somebody, or if you're just typing the same word over and over again, that is, as you type, as you make yourself sit there and work, ideas will eventually come to you. So that's one way to get past the blank spot. More often even, actually, I'll talk to my husband, who's also a writer, and we can kind of work through story ideas and plot ideas. And Steve knows that he's in the room with me. He knows that what I often do is he'll give me a suggestion for a plot or a plot, you know, a plot point. And I'll say, oh, that's terrible. That's an awful, horrible plot point. That would never work. And then I go to bed and I wake up the next morning and I describe this great idea I had overnight, which almost always sounds exactly what he had suggested the night before. But, and you know, last night it was terrible. Tonight, this morning, now that I thought about it, it's brilliant.
You put it in your own words, and suddenly it's brilliant, right?
Isn't it amazing how that works?
I love it.
But he's very patient with me.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. Ashley, did you have any other questions?
No, we basically answered everything I was curious about.
I like the suggestion for working through the writer's block. I really liked that one. I'll have to remember that one.
It worked for me on this story I just finished because I got stuck a couple of points and had to reboot and start over.
Yep. Just start over and let it go. Well,
yeah, you kind of have to.
We appreciate your time, and we're going to make sure that we get the website links onto our forum. It'll be at www.thevro.com. And this show will also be there, so if you want to just let folks know that you were here, and you can post a link to our website, and it'll just be in the archives, and they can listen to your interview on our show.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your time. You have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I appreciate the questions coming up from the chat room. And now we need to find out what is going on over at Open Book Society, because Dawn, y'all's Twitter is just like blowing up my computer. So what is going on at OBS?
Yeah, it's all the daily news coming out. There's just been so much movie and book news lately. It's crazy.
I know it. So what have you guys got going on these days? Why don't you fill us in?
Right now, we're finishing up our Lovely Bones book club and our Alice in Wonderland Through the Looking Glass book club. Those will be done this week, and we're gearing up for next month's book club, which is A Mid A Midsummer Night's Dream, and Fallen by Lauren Kate. We'll be giving away copies of A Midsummer Night's Dream right before the book club starts. And our theme for next month is fairies and angels and tragic love stories.
Ah.
So that's going to be kind of fun.
I was wondering how Midsummer Night's Dream was going to play into that. I was like, now, how is that like vampires and supernatural? But it is.
Yeah. It's actually going to be our classic one. And as far as I know, it has, at some point, it has fairies and stuff in it.
Yes, it does. Oh. And you know, Midsummer Night's Dream was the first real play that my mom ever took me to.
That's cool.
So I am really looking forward to seeing how that goes out.
Yeah, and that's what we're hoping to do is hook some people who remember things like that, who associate it with, you know, the first play they went to or one of the first plays they ever read. And I think it'll be a fun book club because it's just a little different, a little off the beaten path from what we've been doing, but I think it'll be fun.
Well, I'm going to have to get over to OBS for sure and participate in that one. I've been so busy. I can't even bring my head up to breathe these days.
I know. I feel you. We also have a lot of contests coming up. We're going to be doing, right now, one of our running contests is we're doing a review on the 25th, The Corrective Measures, which is a graphic novel about superpowered inmates in a maximum security prison, published by Arcana Comics. And the contest that goes with that is that whoever can or wants to can submit a 3-panel comic that has to be a complete story, and you will win the Dark Horrors Anthology comic book.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a cool contest. We're watching some of those come in, and we have some really artistic fans. It's pretty amazing.
That is cool. Just combine it all and get all sorts of talents going in.
It's cool. I mean, if someone asked me to write my own comic, I couldn't do it.
No. I couldn't do one panel.
No, me neither.
That's a complete story in three.
I know.
I can't tell you what I ate for dinner in less than three panels.
No kidding. And all I saw is sick people, so it doesn't help me any.
I sat down. I ate. I cleaned the table. There you go.
My sick person ran across the street. I mean, that's about all I could.
Exactly. I can do the little bouncing ball in the corner of the Post-it pad so it, you know, the one picture on each page flip book thing.
Oh,
but
how you flip through it and something happens.
That I can do that. My brother used to do those all the time.
I could do those too.
He always did a flaming bicycle or a bicycle jumping up a ramp and catching on fire in midair and crashing to the ground.
Yeah,
that was my brother's favorite one.
When they crash and everything just kind of globs together.
I'm like, how does a bike catch on fire in midair? He's like, oh, no, it just does.
Oh, that's a boy thing. They can make anything happen.
I guess so. I don't know.
I think so. We also have, for upcoming contests, we're going to be giving away Cassandra Clare's Mortal Instruments series, all three of them in hardback together.
Ooh.
Yeah, that I'm thinking that's going to blow up, that contest. And we have a lot of publishing companies who have suddenly started donating books and stuff for contests. So we have two books from Annie Frame, The Quiet Road and Imprint, which will be a contest at some point, hopefully next month. And then Ben Bella Books sent us Demigods and Monsters, Your Favorite Authors on Rick Riordan's Percy Jackson and the Olympian series.
Yeah.
She sent us three of those, so we'll be giving away three of those.
Oh, sweet.
I know. We're rolling in it right now. Peter Popper Press sent us these really cool journals, a moon goddess journal and a vampire journal, and this really cool-looking wolf bookmark. So those three also will be given away in some sort of contest. We're not sure exactly what, but they will be given away, and soon.
You can give them away. I'll give you the address later.
Okay.
Where they need to go.
Yeah.
Now, that is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, we just have lots of fun stuff coming up.
Well, good. And you guys have to give us one of y'all's clips. We still don't have a clip for your website.
I know. We we started working on it, and then just everything else blew up and just didn't have time to go back to it. But
well, I can give you the name of someone who can do some voiceovers. Have you heard any of our voiceovers?
I did. I heard one the other day. I think when I was on, and I'm blanking on the guy's name, when you were interviewing him and I was in the chat room.
Oh, yes, Michael Ventrella.
Yeah. So
yep.
I can hear that voiceover.
Yep, she's a good friend of mine, and she did several for us. So as a matter of fact, while I'm thinking about it and I'm learning how to do this, they gave me the keys to the executive washroom, and I'm actually getting to do the switchboard all by myself tonight. I feel like such a big girl. So I want to play one really, really quick for anybody that hasn't heard it. This is actually for the Twilight Diaries, which is the Tuesday night show. So let me play this really, really quickly.
Do you want to visit Forks or take a trip to La Push? Would you like to have lunch at the Mystic Grill? Do you secretly wonder if vampires really do exist? Join us for the Twilight Diaries on the VRO and share your obsession with people who understand. We talk about the latest episode of Vampire Diaries and discuss the Twilight Saga books and movies. We have interviews with cast members, book studies, contests, and more. We've even been known to give away CDs and T-shirts. The Twilight Diaries, right here on the VRO.
Thank you for indulging me. I didn't blow anything up. I'm so proud of myself. It's the little things that make me happy. So you've got the contest, you've got the book studies, you've got the forum, you've got a ton of really awesome books to be giving away.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff.
Any other goodies or neat things coming up that you want to share with us?
No, I think that about covers it.
All right, super. Well, we're trying to send as many folks over there as we can. We talk about you guys. Actually, every time books come up, I think we talk about the OBS.
Yeah, we've had a number of people join the forum since we affiliated with you guys, and I think they're from you guys.
Oh, great. Well, good.
So, that's working really well.
Well, good. Yeah, it's funny because a lot of times I tend to forget how many people actually listen to us at a later time.
Right.
They've got, because I do it too. I've got it set so that the shows download directly onto my iTunes. And I just go in there once a week and I download all the shows to my iTunes. And I forget how many people, I mean, they can't be here live on the show. But we'll have 400 or 500 downloads of a show. And
When I was on last month, a number of my staff did not hear it, so I sent them to the link.
Right.
Where they could hear it, and I'd say probably 15 of them went to hear it.
Right, and that's the part that I forget. So those of you that are listening to us in archives, hey, and come listen to us some night in the chat room and let us know that you're there. Join us and participate with us in the chat room and call us in. But, that's something that I'm still getting used to with this, so.
Yeah. So
I'm learning.
What are you guys currently reading?
What am I currently reading?
Yes.
I am currently reading something that I'm so thrilled to be reading, actually. It is Dawn of the Dreadfuls by Steve Hawkinsmith. It's the prequel to Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Oh.
Yeah, and this is why I know it's the little things. I told you that. It's the little things. This is the first time in my life a publisher has sent me a book before it's been released. And I'm just like, oh, my God, so excited. I know. It's a little thing. I know. I'm sorry. But
it's
really cool. But we've got Steve Hawkinsmith on next week.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so he's going to talk to us about this and some other stuff that he's got coming up.
That is cool.
Yeah.
I've occasionally gotten a book ahead of time. I think I got one of Alison Knowles' The Immortal series, and I squealed like a girl when that came in the mail.
I did too.
I was like, oh, my God. No one else else has this yet.
I showed it to one of my best friends Saturday night, and I thought she was going to absolutely come unhinged because she knew exactly what it was. I mean, as soon as her eyes saw the cover, she looked back at me and she said, "Oh, my God, who did you kill to get this?"
Yeah,
she knew. She's like, "I want this. I'm taking this." I said, no. I'm not done. You can have it when I'm done. But it's good. It's good. It's it takes place 4 years before Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. And it's the dawn of the Dreadfuls.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
that's
it's good.
Cool.
It's good so far. It's really good. What are you reading, Ashley? Waiting on a book report. Ashley, I think Ashley has left us.
Oops.
Ashley. Ashley is no longer with us. I did not mute her. I did not boot her out. I promise. But she is not on the line with us. So she'll come back. Something's happened. She'll come back in a minute. Last I checked, she was still reading Under the Dome by Stephen King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She's been sick and she's been working.
Yeah,
so she hasn't really felt much up to reading, so I don't think she's finished it yet, but she's been plugging through that one. But, so that was, Twilight Chick said she's trying to get out of her book report. Probably is. She's on the line going, "I'm not talking." But, yeah, actually, I've got 4 books right now that I have started that I'm trying to get through, and I had to really focus on what was important, and getting this book done by next week is the most important. So it is at the top of my reading list right now. But I'm also finishing up the 5th out of the Percy Jackson series.
Uh-huh.
And I started, it was the one that we talked about a couple weeks ago. Oh, it was something about the witchcraft. I can't think of the name of it now,
Maker,
but it was the first of a series.
The Maker
and
Witches?
What was it?
The Mayfair Witches?
Yes.
How are you liking that? Is that good?
I don't know. I have read like 4 pages.
I
got distracted.
That discussion inspired me to go back and read some of the vampire books she wrote. So I finished Interview with the Vampire, and now I'm on The Vampire Lestat. I just want to go back and reread those.
Yeah. Every now and then it's fun to go back and reread.
It is, especially because, you know, vampires are seen in such a different light now.
Right.
Twilight and, you know, all that craze. So it was fun to go back and review her ideas, because she's been around writing about vampires for a long time.
Right. Yeah, and I think she's like the mother.
Yeah,
so,
she's kind of the mother of all this.
Exactly. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left of the show. And I know sometimes we run out of time, and we can keep talking afterwards. We're just not streaming live. So I wanted to make sure that we get in that on tomorrow night we will have a Twilight Diaries show, and Andrea is finally going to be back with us, and she's got some fun stuff to talk about. And March the 25th, Bands on the Rise, we will have The Honesty on, and that will be at 9 p.m. tomorrow night, Eastern Standard. And we do not have any other shows listed for this week, but stand by. That's always subject to change. And on Thursday night, the Vampire Diaries will be airing again live, not live, but new shows will be on Thursday nights. So I just wanted to make sure that I got that in. But, okay, got the housekeeping stuff out of the way again. I have to do that. But, well, we're definitely going to be keeping an eye on Open Book Society, going back with the contests and the book studies and all of that. That's what they're talking about. I don't know if you're in the chat room right now or not, Dawn, but that's what they're talking about, and that they love OBS and
nice
stuff like that. So, yeah, that's always fun. I'm looking to see if there's anything in the chat room that I wanted to make sure. It doesn't look so. Somebody doesn't like to take pictures of herself.
I saw that a few times.
I think they're talking about Facebook. yeah, I think that's about it. All right.
I don't have anything else, and I don't know, Ashley, did you make it back to the show? I think that's a no. Dawn, was there anything else you wanted to plug really quick? You got 5 seconds.
No, I think that'll do it.
All right, super. Well, we will see you guys later, and I'm going to play this clip as we go out.
All right, thanks.
Good night.
Night.
Do you love the smell of a new book? The feel of the paper between your fingers? Do you stay up all night anxiously turning the pages because you're afraid to go to sleep until you know how it ends? Join us for Blood, Bats, and Books on the VRO and share your obsession with books. We talk to authors, publishers, and other book lovers about the stories you love. We can help you discover new books you'll enjoy and give you tips on becoming a better writer. We talk about everything from fan fiction to the classics. We discuss vampires, zombies, evil clowns, and things that go bump in the night. Blood, Bats, and Books, right here on the VRO.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.